Second half of the program begins right now with the two-minute drill. Talking to the people covering the stories where they're happening. I'll tell you where it'll be happening on Sunday. Is at Arrowhead Stadium. No better place to get your tickets than ticketsforless.com. That's where you can go and see all the playoff tickets, any game you want to go to. Chiefs or any out-of-town game as well. They got you covered. Of course, the Chiefs, the star attraction here. And right now, they've got you covered while supplies last. Call in and purchase tickets to both the wild card and the divisional round games. Here at Arrowhead Stadium at Tickets for Less, we'll give you a VIP tailgate pass as well. Buy both games, get the VIP tailgate passes for free. That's all you can eat and drink. Beer, barbecue, sodas, plus it's a heated tent if it's going to be a brutally cold weekend this weekend or next. Take advantage of it at ticketsforless.com. It's also where you can get your Chiefs parking, just $45, same price as the regular season. Got to have it in advance. Only way to do it, get it at Tickets for Less right now. And remember, every purchase comes with a 100% fan insurance guarantee. If the game isn't played, you get 100% of your money back. Not a credit that has to be used in the next, like, 30 or 60 days, right? If they're canceling games, probably no place to use that credit. That's what happens with other folks. Tickets for Less gives you 100% of your money back. You can rest assured. Great KC company. Tickets for Less, call 913-685-3322. Let's get the drill started in Atlanta. Chris Domino, 680 The Fan, is there. Chris, how are you, sir?
Listen, first let me say this. I don't want to pull back the curtain too much, but as far as live reads go, my friend, not a stumble, not a stammer, nothing wrong with that one. They truly got their money's worth on that one.
Well, thank you. They're a great KC company. They do a great job. They've been a great partner of ours here at A10 for a long time. So it really is, you know, second nature. And plus, it's where I go for all my tickets.
Good.
So I know everyone. Good. It makes it super easy. So thank you. As an industry attaboy, I will take it, my friend. Thank you very much.
Well, let's talk about where we can get them at this point in this industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's bigger? Which was a bigger party, the Braves winning the World Series or Georgia winning the national championship?
Don't do this. No, it's the Braves. It's the Braves. Look, Georgia, there are fan bases like most teams, there are fan bases spread out a little bit. There was this big hullabaloo around here as Atlanta's trying to lay claim to the Georgia championship. Athens folks will tell you it's not Atlanta, it's Athens. It's 60 miles to the east. How dare you? Other people are like, whatever, who cares? We got another title around here. That just doesn't happen very often. I think the parade would tell you it was the Braves. I think radio network size across the country, there were a lot of people who came in from out of town. I'm not saying it's not going to happen at Georgia's version of that tomorrow with the stadium. They'll pack it. I'm assuming they'll be close to 90,000 if it's not completely packed. It's a big deal, but I think the Braves – is a bigger regional thing where more people came back to actually be a part of this than you'll see at Georgia.
Yeah. All right. Is this the handing of the baton? Our buddy Will Harris, college football handicapper, said that that's what he expected this year. This would be the handing of the baton. Nick Saban to Kirby Smart. He liked Georgia to win the championship, even when they were preseason number 5 and Alabama was number 1. And he said now, not that Alabama can't win another title, they can, but that the dominant program here moving forward, at least in the next number of years, is going to be Georgia. Is that the feeling around those parts?
Look, I think there's that feeling of until you win one, you can't say you're good enough to win one. Do something once, they can call you lucky. Do it twice, they can't. It sounds sort of pessimistic to say until you do it a second time because you certainly want to revel in what's happening now. Handing a baton over, look, heavy is the head that wears the crown. Nebraska, Notre Dame for a while, certainly in the 60s, Nebraska, Oklahoma in the 70s, Miami in the 80s. I think much like in pro sports, the ups and downs, if you look at USC went through coaching changes. Texas has gone through coaching changes. Nebraska doesn't even hardly play football anymore. I think there's a cautionary tale with that. It certainly feels good when you look at how many SEC teams have won a title. You know, Georgia waited for theirs. Now they have. Is he a made man now in some regard? Yeah, he is. Kirby Smart needed the blessing of, you know, the football gods to say that you're capable in a big game to do something that looks like you can win not only one but more. It feels from a talent point of view. I certainly still think, though, that luck, I'm going to say it. I don't want to anger the football gods by talking about how now this is going to be easier to win national titles. It shouldn't take another one 41 years for sure. I just don't know if I really want to buy into the winning two of these is tough. You have a lot of things going for you. I just think winning two is tough in a short amount of time. I'm not going to go that far. And by the way, Nick Saban, you know, I don't know if this character Logan from the X-Men is coming back or not. Everybody thinks he's dead. I think Nick Saban is Logan. Until he's dead, I'm not so sure that this guy's gonna go away so easily.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's going to go away, but I think there may be a new king. And, again, I think that there's probably another championship there for Alabama. I mean, they're going to be the favorite next year with everything that they bring back. Georgia's, I think, the number two favorite right now. Sometimes that's just an overreaction, and as the, you know, let's see what happens with the transfer portal and everything else that's going on. But I do get
you
it.
Know
but
what the good news is?
What?
There's not another job that Kirby wants. Like, I think some schools kind of have to worry. Hey, not only did he graduate from here, I don't know if he wants to do the NFL thing or not. If you ask me, I got $100 left. Give me a guy who's at his program 5 years from now, let alone 10 years from now. My answer both times is Kirby Smart, and I don't want to make that bet at all. But Kirby Smart is the best bet in all of college football to be at the place he's at now 5 years from now, and I'm going to go crazy and say 10 years from now. Here's the only thing missing. People got on me. He's got a 9-figure deal waiting for him. I don't know if they're going to announce it at the parade, the ceremony tomorrow. He's got a 9-figure deal that at some point is going to be talked about, thrown up publicly. Because if Mel Tucker at Michigan State gets $95 million, if Jimbo Fisher gets over $100 million, there's not a chance that Kirby Smart and Jimmy Sexton aren't going to pull a 9-figure deal in the not-too-distant future for this thing. And the good news is there's no place he wants to be. There is literally no place he wants to be more than here.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, he played there at Georgia. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer as long as they take care of him and pay him. And that was my next question. You know, are they willing to do that? My assumption was yes, but so you're telling me that that's soon to be announced?
Oh, no. I'm telling you that night I said Kirby Smart's 9-figure deal in 3-2, and then people jumped on me. They said, 9 figures, do you know what 9 figures is? I said, yeah, I know. I know what 7 is. I know what 8 is, and I know what a 9-figure deal is. He's going to sign for over $100 million. I'm not telling you I know that, but I know who his agent is. I know Georgia is flush with cash. Look, this school is hard to get into. This school, if I had a dollar for every guy that I met who graduated from Georgia who said, I wouldn't even bother sending in the application. It is a dogfight, no pun intended, to get in there. Now, if you could have actually had a higher stack, and how do we know that Nick Saban has been worth $9 and $10 million? Go ask an economy professor at Alabama. They'll tell you he's underpaid for the money being brought in. Georgia's now in that situation. Georgia's in a situation where Kirby Smart and his football team, if you paid him $10 million, $12 million a year, he's still underpaid because of all the ancillary money that you make, including how many students do you want in the school? You could fill every seat 2 times over at this point with everything that's gone on with this program and really the school itself.
And I think the other thing that needs to be pointed out is the fact that Georgia was the one school we found out when they were talking about shutting down all these games that had a full year's operating budget in the bank.
Yeah.
They were the one that had run well, you know? I mean, that's impressive.
Eric Zier is the guy who played quarterback. Eric calls games for them. And I had asked him, you know, he's on campus. And I said, tell me in a 25-year period what's happened. Jim Donnan used to coach there. Now, look, do I think he was exaggerating when he used to come on with me? He said I used to have a bake sale to go get whey protein. You know, they weren't putting money in. An exaggeration, I'm sure. But Eric Zier, who's seen it all grow, it seems every time you turn around, a lot like Clemson, there's a new facility, something being built, and they're not behind anybody now. And if there's something that's going to get done when you win a national title, you want the indoor bubble, you get it. You want a new weight room, you get it. Whether it's good or not, whether it's good economics or not, I can tell you that what the football program is doing for the overall value of the school, I'm sure it's measurable, but they're also going to come out in terms of black ink. This is not a red ink scenario, no doubt about it.
Cam Reddish to the Knicks, real quick. Is this, you know, last year they were, you know, one step away from getting to the NBA Finals. Now they're reshuffling the deck. Is this just we're starting over, or is it a malcontent? Is it a deal they just couldn't refuse? Why does this deal get done?
So the general manager said that he had actually told him during the offseason he didn't feel comfortable here, didn't want to be here. If we can do something, we will. It was Trae Young and Cam Reddish really for Luka. Now it's Trae Young, a guy named Kevin Knox, and a non-protected draft pick in 2022. The deal seems to be diminishing a little bit as long as Luka just doesn't want to be fat anymore and really wants to play good basketball. My analogy was, with what happened last year, we felt like we were at a club, a bar, that stayed open till 3. Now it feels like it's 12 o'clock last call. Like they're sort of kicking people out a little bit sooner. The goodwill that was supposed to be around this team and the, you know, walk, crawl, run, it doesn't feel like really the run is going to happen now, because even John Collins, who got a new deal, keeps talking about that we don't have a lot of heart around here. It's disheartening. It's a little bit disconcerting. I was willing to say it's only 20 games. It's only 30 games. They'll snap out of it. They're fat-catting. It seems it's a little bit deeper than that right now, especially when a deal like this happens a month before the trade deadline on top of everything else.
Chris Domino, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend and stay healthy, my friend.
Yeah, listen, enjoy playoff football. Seriously, hope you guys have a great weekend.
Dan Schwartzman, D Sports Media in New York, New York. Dan, how are you, sir?
Great, sir. How are you, buddy?
Better than Joe Judge. It's not a clown show, but it's not his show anymore. The only question I have is, what the hell took 2 days to get to that conclusion?
By the way, I don't think you are doing better than Joe Judge. I mean, he's got a guaranteed contract that probably has a couple years of payouts left, so he can sit around,
true,
play golf for 2 years through and make a heck of a lot more than we're making. So, you know, here's the problem. You know, Joe Judge, apparently, when he had the interview, no one knew who he was, by the way, in New York, and he blew away ownership with what he had to say. Look, if the Giants had looked semi-competent the last 3 weeks or the last 2 weeks after his little fiery 11-minute ridiculous speech, probably does keep his job. But they looked inept, and then they had those two quarterback sneak plays from their own 5-yard line, you know, in a game. I think it kind of diminished what he had said, which is, guys, you're going to be competitive, you'll never see us quit, blah, 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 because that's exactly what they did, was quit. So, look, I think the Giants had to weigh trying not to be an organization that fires three straight coaches before 2 years are up, which is what they've done. And in the end, they just couldn't keep Joe Judge around, though.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I didn't get the hire at the time. I didn't get the hire while it was going on. They never looked impressive to me. Dave Gettleman retires as well, the general manager. Sure. So it's a complete house cleaning. Who are the names that are being talked about for coach and GM?
You know, first of all, yeah, Dave Gettleman is the one that gets away easy here with the retirement. So he was going to be fired regardless, obviously. He's been a terrible GM, one of the worst we've had in New York. Look, when it comes to who they're going to go after, they're going to cast a wide net, right? You're hearing a couple of names, nothing of significance yet. But I think, you know, it's a marquee job. Even though the Giants have been a bad organization, Seren, guess what? It's still a marquee job. They're one of the, you know, first-rate organizations in the NFL. It's a class organization. It's a big city. There's a lot to do. So I think it's a job that people – and it's good ownership, really. I mean, the Maras and the Tishes have been known to be good owners. So it's going to be a coveted job. I think they're going to take their time here. They're going to really make sure that they go through their due diligence and get the right person, because this is a big hire for that organization. They get this wrong, they get further and further into irrelevancy, and they definitely don't want to do that because, again, it is the New York Giants, a prestigious organization.
Yeah, Ryan Pohl's name has been mentioned. Supposedly he is interviewed there. One of the Chiefs' top lieutenants, to Brett Veach, has talked to the Giants. And Bob Glauber told us that last time the Maras said that they were quite impressed with Eric Bieniemy. And, you know, he's still available, still be there to be hired, although his name's being mentioned. I've heard it in Minnesota and Denver, but he would seem to be one of the candidates they would take a look at. How about the Nets with Kyrie Irving? There's some rumblings that they're going to go ahead and come up with some kind of exception that allows him to play all the games. Is that the feeling of what's ultimately going to happen there with him?
I don't think so, because it's going to be up to the city of New York to decide that. You know, it's not the Brooklyn Nets are going to decide, is he allowed to play home games at Barclays Center or not. And I don't think the city's going to change its policy. You know, the Omicron numbers that are going through the roof here in New York, the way it's going through the roof pretty much everywhere in the country and the world right now. So I don't think the city of New York's going to make any sort of exception for, you know, crybaby Kyrie Irving. I don't think it's going to happen. If Australia can tell Novak Djokovic to pack his bags, I don't see why New York can't tell Kyrie Irving to go pack his bags and only play on the road. So I don't think, unless the city's willing to change its own policies on COVID, I don't think he's going to be able to play home games here anytime soon.
Okay. Is it working? This kind of, you know, play sometimes, but not other times? Is that a plan, or would they be better off trying to find what's the right mix without Kyrie Irving all the time?
You know what? I think it is working. He didn't really seem to miss a beat since coming back, you know, having a big layoff. He's in great shape, and you just saw a couple of days ago when they went to Chicago and just absolutely dominated the Bulls, right? Like, I mean, that is the best team in the NBA that we watched. And with Kyrie Irving there, they're that much better. And if that means you have him for 50% of the time, that's better than having him for 0% of the time. They're a better team with him, and I think they realized that. So they brought him back, which was not the most popular decision here in New York because people thought you're rewarding a guy for, you know, what his stance is. But the reality is, in terms of the actual play on the court, Seren, they're just a better team with him. And if that's 50% of the time, that's 50%. You know, their odds of winning on the road every single game increases.
We heard the Atlanta side of it, the Knicks getting Cam Reddish. This was one of the topics in the draft a few years ago. Known as a shooter, but shoots only. I mean, this year I believe he's skyrocketed his field goal percentage to just over 40%.
40.
Yeah. What's the view there in New York of this deal?
It's a steal because we got something for Kevin Knox, who is horrendous. Kevin Knox is terrible. He is a terrible basketball player. He was an awful draft pick when it happened, and he's been an awful player since he got here 3 years ago, to the point where he wasn't even in the rotation anymore for Tom Thibodeau. So to get a guy who has a high upside in Cam Reddish for a guy who has no upside here in New York and it was pretty much wilting away on the bench is a steal. No one cares about that protected first-round draft pick. No one cares that they had to add Solomon Hill and take a second-round pick in 2025. The fact is, even if Cam Reddish amounts to being a quality bench player, that's more than a guy who was pretty much relegated to water boy and towel boy on the bench.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll see. The Knicks, right where they were last year. I was watching their game the other night, and they're like, yeah, everyone thinks there's something wrong with the Knicks, but they're actually right where they were last year. So now all they got to do is get hot like they did last year. Dan Schwartzman in New York. Great stuff as always, my friend. Have yourself a great weekend and stay healthy.
We'll chat soon. Thanks, Ren.
And in Phoenix, Arizona, we drink way too much Corona.
Luke Lipinski, 98.7 Arizona Sports in Phoenix, Arizona's next. Luke, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How you doing?
Not bad. Cardinals getting 4 from the Rams. They're not getting 14. They're not getting the 12-plus that the Steelers are getting from the Chiefs. But you hear people talk about it. This is a Cardinal team that can't beat anybody, lost 4 of their last 5, and shouldn't even be on the field with the Rams. That's the national perception. What's the Phoenix perception?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of, there's a lot of tentativeness now, obviously, because of losing 4 of the last 5. They're 1-9 in their last 10 against the Rams, but the one win came this year. So, I mean, I think there's still optimism around here. It's just kind of cautious optimism, and a lot of it's tied to Kyler Murray just being able to take over a game, which he has done. He just hasn't done it in the last month and a half.
Is he healthy?
I mean, he's definitely more healthy, healthier this year than he was last year towards the end of the season. So, yeah, the issue really hasn't been his health so much as not having DeAndre Hopkins, and they're not going to get him. James Conner's been hurt, Chase Edmonds, Rondale Moore. A lot of the guys around him, a lot of his weapons have been hurt.
Yeah, how have they tried to make up for the loss of Hopkins?
I mean, for a while there, it looked like they were going to try to make A.J. Green the number one. And, you know, he was that guy in Cincinnati a few years ago, but he's not going to be able to replace DeAndre Hopkins. And it's been weird. Him and Kyler have been on the same page some games, and then other games you'll see Kyler throw a pass in when A.J. Green was going out or vice versa. They just haven't completely been in sync, but that's probably their best chance for a big play receiver. I think really what they would like to do is get James Conner and Chase Edmonds on the field together for a full game. They haven't done that in 2 months and maybe counteract it that way.
What about defensively? How do they match up with the Rams with their defense?
Well, the story here defensively is that J.J. Watt practiced yesterday and today, so they're hopeful that he may be able to come back on Monday, which he was supposed to be done for the year when he got hurt. And they would need that. I mean, not just the emotional boost he would bring and the leadership during a game, but he helps with the run defense, and that's been their weak point all season. The other thing, the issue they may have with the Rams is a lot of guys in the secondary right now for the Cardinals are hurt. Robert Alford's on IR. Marco Wilson's been banged up. There's a decent chance he comes back, though. So they're going to have their hands full, like everybody does, with Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury, is he won the fan base over with this year, or does this slow finish somehow diminish and have people still kind of scratching their head wondering what ultimately he's going to be?
Yeah, honestly, I think it might be the second one now. He had won them over for sure. You start 7-0 and you go 10-2 to begin the season, but it's because he's had such slow finishes in the past, both at college and even last year with the Cardinals. So I think that's opened the door to some more questions. I think a lot of those questions are answered if they go out there and win a playoff game. But if they lose on Monday night, then you've lost 5 of your last 6 to end the season. They've had injuries, and they've had a lot of injuries, but they also have a pretty talented roster. They should be able to finish better than that.
Suns now the top team in the West as the Warriors kind of, you know, had big problems last night in the game. But, you know, I know everyone's like, oh, Klay Thompson's back. Yeah, that usually means you got to refine your chemistry and your lineup. They're going through that. The Suns jumping on it. They're the one seed if the playoffs were today. Do they finish as the one seed? Do you think they're the best team in the West? Or is Klay Thompson and the Warriors ultimately going to find their rhythm and end up being the top seed?
I mean, top seed in the regular season, that could very well be the Suns. I do think you have to give the slight nod to Golden State overall because they're not just working in a good player. They're working in a great player who's been there before. So there's some familiarity. But, you know, like you said, it's going to take some time to figure that out. I don't see the Suns dropping off at all. And I do see if those two teams meet in the playoffs, if it's the Western Conference Finals or whatever, that to me is a seven-game series. I mean, the Suns are right there. They're not going to be able to add a Klay Thompson, but they're not going to drop off either. And just like every other team in the league, they've had a lot of guys in and out of the lineup. So they've put together this record of 31-9 without really having their normal lineup out there very much.
Is Chris Paul the Tom Brady of the NBA?
Yeah. I mean, if he was on the line, he'd probably say he wants about seven rings before he would feel that way. But what he has done, you know, here you give him a lot of credit for being able to spot that the Suns were going to get good, and then he came here and obviously took them the next three or four steps. But what he has done for the younger guys like DeAndre Ayton and Jalen Smith and even Devin Booker, to be honest, that's remarkable.
Yeah, it is. I mean, just at that age to be playing that well at a position that's so reliant on your quicks is amazing to me. U of A, 13-1, number six in the country. I know they loved the hire when they made it, but did they think they would be this good this fast?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always that expectation in Tucson that they can do this. The problem with Sean Miller was that he, you know, he could recruit, but he was also kind of abrasive, and, you know, the program was in trouble for a while, and he could get you close to the Final Four but never quite get you in, which, you know, somebody like myself who went to ASU, that sounds great to get close to the Final Four, but it's a different standard for U of A, and so I don't think they're surprised by this start at all.
Really? Are they this good, or are they just right now haven't lost for a while, and so they've risen maybe beyond how good they really are?
I mean, I think they'll certainly be a contender when March rolls around. They wouldn't be like my pick to win the whole thing, but they've got some talent, and they're bringing it together pretty quickly. Maybe, you know, maybe even a little bit more talent than you would expect them to have this quickly, but they have it. Yeah, I mean, with the landscape of college basketball right now, you know, you're just trying to keep everybody on the floor and get to play all your games. And when they have gotten to play their games, they look certainly like the cream of the crop in the Pac-12.
Yeah, everyone knew Tommy Lloyd could get talent. He did it at Gonzaga. I don't know that they knew he'd get this much this fast and be able to make it all work. That's the question. You know, the fact that it's all coming together the way it is. They've got Utah coming up tomorrow. That's next for them at Stanford. We'll see how many games they get to play. Of course, everybody battling COVID. But right now, the Arizona Wildcats at the top of the Pac-12. Great stuff as always. Luke Lipinski in Phoenix, Arizona. We appreciate it, my friend. Have a great weekend and stay healthy.
All right, you too. Take care.
Yes, indeed. We talk to Adam Teicher each and every Friday here in the program about your Kansas City Chiefs. And if you want to go see your Kansas City Chiefs, no better time to do it than right now by going to ticketsforless.com. Call 913-685-3322. Tickets for Less has you covered with a great deal. Buy your wild card tickets and your divisional tickets. Wild card ticket and divisional ticket, get free VIP tailgate passes for both games. That's all you can eat and drink, barbecue, beer, sodas, heated tent for you to enjoy before the game. It's the ultimate party before the ultimate event here in Kansas City, and nobody has you covered like Tickets for Less. 913-685-3322, and don't forget 100% fan insurance guarantee while you're calling and getting those Chiefs tickets. Grab yourself some Big 12 tickets as well. In Lawrence, in Manhattan, you want to go see the Wildcats, you want to see the Jayhawks, they got you covered there. Really, they got you covered with tickets to any one of the Big 12 schools. That's why they are the official partner of the Big 12. That's right, the official ticket marketplace for the Big 12 Conference. And you can even get your Big 12 tournament tickets right now at Tickets for Less. Don't forget about your parking for the Chiefs. They got you covered there as well. That's got to be purchased in advance. It's $45. That's the same price as the regular season. It's only $45 at Tickets for Less. Check it out. Compare. them to the rest, you'll see, you're going to save always. None of the extra fees and everything that the other guys tack on there. Nope, not at Tickets With Us. The best price every single time, whether you just won the door or you want the best seats in the house for all the games, it's Tickets For Less. Call 913-685-3322. Find them online at ticketsforless.com. Let's talk to Adam Teicher here in the program, brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. If you're not going to the game, that is the place to watch the game. It's at Twin Peaks. Of course, the game will be on. And, of course, they've got the man-sized draft beer. No one does happy hour like Twin Peaks, whatever your preference. Tequila cocktails, extensive bourbon category, top-shelf spirits and cocktails served over ice balls, plus local craft beers, handcrafted whiskey cocktails, great drink menu, and, of course, the 29-degree man-sized draft beers. TVs everywhere. It's all at Twin Peaks. Find them online at TwinPeaksRestaurant.com. Adam, how are you, my friend?
Good, Seren. How you doing today?
I guess better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The news today that, you know, we got the news yesterday he didn't practice. Seemed like everything was going well when he practiced on Wednesday. Not practicing today, and Andy Reid going all the way to saying he's going to be out. How big of a surprise is that?
Not much. I mean, when he didn't practice yesterday, that's a pretty ominous sign. It's kind of unusual for a guy to practice, not practice, then return to practice. So it's... kind of writing was kind of there yesterday, and not real surprising. But I don't know. I know this hurts the Chiefs from a depth standpoint. I mean, this is just one more one of their backs that's on the shelf. But I don't know that it necessarily hurts them a whole lot from a production standpoint. I mean, I feel like they've got the guys who can play and help him win a game. But you'd like to have Edwards-Helaire certainly from a depth standpoint, but not sure not having him around is going to make much of a difference in a win or a loss.
And what did you think of Andy Reid's answer to your question about Tyreek Hill and Darrell Williams, whether or not they'll be active?
Yeah, I mean, the Hill will be active. The Chiefs have been planning on that all week. And when they issued their injury report, he didn't have a designation, so that means he's good to go. Now, Williams was questionable, and my sense is he's going to play, although I guess they have, almost 40, or they do have 48 hours or more than 48 hours to make up their minds on that, but I don't know if it's going to be a full role. So I think, Derek Gore and Jerick McKinnon are going to play some Sunday, and I'm kind of eager to see how the Chiefs chop all that up.
Yeah, it is. Do you like the way Andy Reid handles his backs? He seems to be, it's like, run them until they get hurt and then run the next guy until he gets hurt, as opposed to like having kind of, a little bit more of a package for this guy, a package for that guy. Do you like how he uses the running backs?
Yeah, I do. Particularly when he's got a good one like Kareem Hunt or Jamal Charles. I mean, yeah, I really like how we use those guys. And, other than Darrell Williams, Chiefs backs aren't real big guys. Well, Derek Gore is big, but certainly not McKinnon or Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So Edwards-Helaire he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And that was kind of my question about him, whether he was big enough to be kind of a regular feature back when the Chiefs drafted him, because he's just not very big. And, he certainly hasn't been able to stand up to it, to the punishment. He missed a bunch of time last year and a bunch of time this year with two different injuries. So, we'll see with him. But I feel like, the Chiefs have some other backs who are capable of doing, giving them what he does.
Yeah. Is there any scenario that you see that the Chiefs don't win this game? I mean, most everybody's got it. Chiefs by a mile, not even close. What's a game look like if it doesn't go the Chiefs' way?
Yeah, well, it's going to look like the Chiefs playing like they did earlier in the season and maybe more recently defensively. I mean, they're going to be turning the ball over. They're going to miss some tackles. They're going to blow some coverages. Sorensen's going to get burned, and the Chiefs are going to commit some defensive penalties right there. That's the recipe. I think it's a pretty narrow path for the Steelers to win. I mean, let's face it, if the Chiefs bring their A game like they did for maybe the first three quarters, at least against the Steelers the last time around, then it's going to be tough for the Steelers to keep up. But if they can, if the Chiefs revert to what they were early in the season with the turnovers and the drop passes and all that stuff and the defensive problems, that's the path to Pittsburgh winning the game.
Three of the last four for the Chiefs defense have not been that good. Where's your level of concern that the defense can play at a high level?
Yeah, no, it's there. I mean, it's concerning. I mean, you know, the problems that we hadn't seen much of, the things we were talking about a minute ago, popped up in big numbers against the Bengals. And then you think, yeah, you know, okay, it's 1 week, it's the Bengals. Okay, hot quarterback, great receiver, you know, great, nice supporting cast. But then last week, you know, the Broncos had scored 13, no more than 13 points in any of their three previous games. They're playing with a backup quarterback. I mean, I was really expecting the Chiefs to put their foot down on Denver's neck you know, when the Broncos had the ball last week, and it didn't happen. You know, they got that nice three-and-out to start the game. They got the nice three-and-out on the next drive that was ruined by the roughing the punter. And then it was it looked like the Chiefs from earlier in the season, kind of. You know, they couldn't stop the run. And, man, you know, that turnover with the touchdown from Melvin Ingram and Nick Bolton, I mean, that happened at the right time. I mean, they wait a little longer for that, and who knows what happens in that game, because the Broncos looked like they were ready to go in at that point. So, it's hard to know what to trust from the Chiefs defensively right now, you know. It's just kind of a mixed – it's been a mixed thing, and they were so good for eight games, and last two, not so much. So, you know, is this temporary? Is it real? It's just hard to know what to trust.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, was Andy Reid making an excuse that, hey, there was just kind of a letdown after they clinched the AFC West when they, you know, when he answered the questions earlier this week? I mean, I thought he was, you know, he pretty much was saying, you know, we kind of our goal was gone. And so he called it, you're in a weird place. Like, you know, is it as simple as that? That once they had that done, then they kind of shut it down and were on cruise control waiting for the playoffs to start?
Yeah, I was sort of surprised by that when he said that, because, you know, he had indicated at the time, well, we got a lot to play for and we're going to be all fired up to get that number one seed. And, of course, that didn't happen. But still, you know, they still had a lot to play for. And so, yeah, I was kind of surprised by that. And it did sound like he was kind of letting his guys off the hook a little bit. So, you know, but now we know there's no excuses anymore. So we'll see if that was indeed the case, because, you know, it's win or go home now.
Yeah, no doubt. Patrick Mahomes, I dug these numbers up, and, you know, he's 24th all-time in touchdown passes in the postseason already. I mean, 24 is not third, right? But 24th, he's been in the league for 4 years and only been a starter in the postseason three times. This will be his fourth time being a starter in the postseason, and he's already 24th. Like, it is amazing what we're watching. Like, we are already a little bit spoiled this kid is doing for this team. Do you think he's playing his best football, and do you expect him to have a big postseason?
Yeah, well, you know, I do expect him to have a big postseason, and I don't see any way the Chiefs, you know, go deep in the playoffs without a big postseason from him. You know, the thing I'm looking at is when the Chiefs really needed him the most this year, he did deliver. I mean, you know, we had that slump in the middle of the year, but, man, that fourth quarter against the Chargers a few weeks ago and the overtime, I mean, they needed him to play at an MVP level in that game, and he didn't for a while, but he certainly did when it really counted. And then the next week against the Steelers, when you know, the Chiefs were down Kelce and Hill wasn't playing much, they needed a big-time game from him, and he delivered again. So that sort of tells me that you know, he's going to deliver for them in the big moments when they have to have it. And so I do expect him to play big in these next few games.
Yeah, you know, the question, what makes, and I was talking about this with Danny last hour, that what makes the Chiefs so tough, I think, is their defensive line has a day, and I think they're going to have a pretty good day against a lackluster Steeler offensive line. If the defense has a day, they're going to be almost impossible to beat, because, you know, if they're getting pressured, then I think everything works the way they want it to work on the defensive side, then throw in the offense, and teams are going to have a really hard time beating the Chiefs. If the defense doesn't work, then Patrick Mahomes can still just go win a shootout. And that's what gives them such a great chance, is that they're capable of playing defense at a high level, but if they don't, they can still beat you. And that's a scary proposition for everybody out there.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I was talking with Jason Anderson earlier in the week, and we're both kind of in agreement that if the Chiefs can do one of two things, either their offense can be more consistent. You know, we know how good they are offensively on the first possession and in the first quarter. If they can continue that throughout the game, or if their defense reverts to what it was during the eight-game winning streak, the Chiefs will probably, either one of those things happen, they're going to be pretty tough to beat in the playoffs. And if they both happen, that's the Chiefs' path to a Super Bowl, to a Super Bowl victory. I mean, if the Chiefs are what we expect them to be this season offensively for four quarters, and their defense plays like it did during the winning streak, who's going to beat the Chiefs? I mean, you see any team out there who's going to overcome that? So, I feel like there's a lot for the Chiefs to look forward to, but they have to deliver on it here.
Yeah, the Chiefs should win easily here, and then the challenge really begins with the game against the Buffalo Bills. In all likelihood, yep, it's going to be the Buffalo Bills, although, I mean, other people think the Pats have a shot. I think the Bills are definitely going to roll them. If the Chiefs get by the Steelers, who concerns you if you're the Kansas City Chiefs in their path?
Well, that Buffalo. I think that might be the de facto AFC championship game, you know? I mean, I think those are the two best teams. And so, I feel like whoever wins that game will probably go to Tennessee the next week and win, assuming the Titans win their game against the Bengals or whoever they get. So, but I don't know that Tennessee's going to win that game. I mean, the Cincinnati-Tennessee game, I think, is going to be great. So, to me, that's going to be the de facto AFC championship game, if it happens, is the Chiefs and the Bills at Arrowhead next weekend. And can't wait to see it.
All right, one piece of sad news. What just was, I mean, really, frankly, a troubled life before he ever even got to the Kansas City Chiefs, but has been a tough go of it, being arrested at one point. I think it was the night the Chiefs had a whole bunch of arrests up in River Falls and a spit hood having to be placed on the head of Junior C of E. And he's had problems after football. Kind of found a spot, a niche to play down in Dallas and played better down in Dallas than he did in Kansas City. Today found dead in his Leavenworth prison cell. He was awaiting federal criminal charges related to drug trafficking and illegal firearm possession. Found unresponsive, taken to the hospital, pronounced dead at the hospital. Not a whole lot of details beyond that. He was in, they called it basically human trafficking, right? Human slavery, where he's working. I think it was in a T-shirt shop was how he got to the United States. He was Polynesian. And, had a tough go of it before he got to Oregon as a player, got to the Chiefs, didn't work out great here. I mentioned kind of, and to end this way, that's about as sad a story as you can tell about a guy who came through here in the NFL.
Yeah, it sure is. And I didn't hear about the story until right before I came on with you. Curtis alerted me to this. So I'm just sort of hearing about it now. And you're right, he had his issues after leaving the NFL, and actually, as you pointed out, during his time in the NFL, but really sad story. What a sad way to end for Junior Siavi. But he certainly had a troubled time, no doubt.
Yeah, that's rough. Adam, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you next week. I don't think there's much chance we won't be talking to you next week about these Kansas City Chiefs. So let's get a win, and we'll talk next week.
All right, good stuff, Saran. We'll talk to you then.
All right, you bet. Adam Teicher brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. Great spot to get together. Happy hour's going on right now, 29-degree, man-sized draft beer. Great cocktail menu as well. Of course, they're made from scratch menu. Absolutely fantastic. You can get that to go as well if you want. Go to TwinPeaksRestaurant.com to see their great menu. Go see them in person to watch the games. They're always on. They got the ESPN Plus, so they can check out the basketball, the college basketball as well. It's all at Twin Peaks. And if you're going out to the stadium and or want to go out to the stadium and don't have your tickets yet, Tickets for Less has you covered. 913-685-3322. And if you buy tickets for this week's game and next week's game, while they last, if the tickets are still there and if the spots are still available in the VIP tent, buy this week and next week and get the VIP tent with all you can eat and drink to both weekends games. Get it for free. That's at 913-685-3322.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. Three teams have a current drought of at least 20 years since their last NFL playoff win. I asked for all three because two of them should be fairly easy.
Give me the question again.
Three teams have a current drought of at least 20 years since their last NFL playoff win. I asked for all three.
The Bungles.
Bengals are 31.
The Raiders.
Mm-mm. Raiders have goes back to 02. They've only had 19 years.
Oh, really? That's weeny. Why don't you just make it 19 and add another team in there?
Because 19's a kind of weeny also.
No, you're weeny.
The Lions have been, it's been 30 years.
Well, I was good. They were my third team that I finished, the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to find another one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So I need to see some standings here. Let me look at some standings. If I see the standings, I'm sure it'll pop at me.
Last postseason win, year 2000.
In the year 2000.
In the year 2000.
JETS?
Mm-mm.
Browns. Who am I missing here? Hang on.
If you started in the East, you've already gone past it. If you're already into the Central.
The Fish?
The Miami Dolphins have not won a postseason game since 2000.
Remember when that was the Chiefs?
Yes.
I mean, what was the Chiefs stretch from win to win? 94 to win?
The 94 to the 16. So 93 season to the 15 season. So, yeah.
93 season was, to the 15 seasons, 22. And there's now three teams and another one at 19?
Mm-hmm.
How long for the Lions? 30 years?
30 years, 1991. The Bills last year broke a 25-year streak without a postseason win.
That is just really hard to do.
The Browns have a streak that's moving up in that one as well.
Wow, so. that's brutal.
Yep.
That is just brutal. Great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. That's what we were playing for. Great Cajun food from Jazz. Go to jazzkitchen.com to see their extensive menu. See them at the Legends in Independence at I-70 and 291, and also by the Med Center at 39th and State Line. That is where you can get that great Cajun food. Live music, great Cajun food, great folks, great service. They cater as well. It's Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. That's another reason to be excited. Tickets will also get you, VIP passes to both games. If you buy the wild card and the division round right now, you can go to the VIP tailgate with the heated tent, the all-you-can-eat and drink. It's at 913-685-3322. Think about it. Like, you got to enjoy this. That's another reason to go get your tickets right now from Tickets Less, because I know it feels like the Chiefs are going to be there every year, but Andy Reid's in his 60s, and Patrick Mahomes' career, in Pittsburgh, it feels like Ben Roethlisberger just got to town, and he's now done. And after Patrick Mahomes, who's the guy? So there's going to be a lot of playoffs with Patrick Mahomes, and you should go to every single one of them. Because after Patrick Mahomes, nothing is promised to you. It may be a 20-plus year drought between playoff wins. Again, be ready for it. TicketsForLess.com, 913-685-3322.